6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It is a very interesting time to see the evolution of sports broadcasting and sports watching and sports production, because all of the combination of cloud and streaming and AI technologies are now coming together to give the users a much improved experience.
And that is the voice of Wim Sweldens, the co-founder of Kizway, a streaming company that you might be familiar with in places like Phoenix and Utah that has become a big player in the sports streaming space. And he is my guest today on a special edition of the Sports Media Watch podcast. I'm John Lewis, and if you have not already, please subscribe to the SNW podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. This is a special edition of the pod. I'm going to talk with Wim Sweldens about sports streaming and all of the technological advancements that we as sports fans might be seeing in the coming years and decades. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Wim Sweldens. All right. Well, we are happy to be joined today on the Sports Media Watch podcast by Wim Sweldens, who is the co-founder and CMO of Kizway. Kizway is one of the companies that's really facilitating a lot of the streaming that we're seeing in live sports, particularly in the local realm. Wim, thank you so much for joining me today.
Happy to be here, John.
Yeah, I think the best place to start out is kind of just a broader overview of what Kizway is about, how it got into live sports, and what your broader goals are here at the outset of this.
Yeah, sounds good. Kizway is a streaming company. We're sort of a hardcore technology company, and from the very beginning of the company, our ambition was to really sort of find new ways in which end users could view their favorite sports content. I mean, the company is now almost 11 years old, and what we are now doing today is, as you said, is really particularly focusing in on what we like to call direct-to-consumer streaming, meaning that we work with the original content owners, like the teams or the leagues, and instead of them making a deal with a traditional TV network or broadcasters, we actually allow them to sell their content or their games directly to their end users. So this is a trend that we're seeing. I think it's particularly starting in regional sports, but the value around it is that there's such a much broader interface between the content owner and the fans in terms of engaging the fans, getting to know the fans. And content owners can not only own their streaming strategy, but also own their monetization strategy, own the users, have the data. And so there's a little bit of the standard principle of eliminating the middle person between the content owner and the content fan. And so that's sort of where today our technology is being used. And we're very excited about the partnerships that we have in in sports, and we're also branching out to things like music and creators that are a little bit outside of sports as well. But our heritage and the founding of the company was very much in the sports realm.
So let's talk a little bit about that sports, what we're seeing so far. Kizway, as far as I'm aware, is operating right now in partnership with these, in terms of these local sports teams, in partnership with over-the-air broadcast television. So something like your deal with, it's the Phoenix Suns.
The Jazz, the Suns, the Pelicans, yeah. Yes.
Those deals are in conjunction with over-the-air deals where fans can watch there. Yeah. Obviously, I'm not asking you to give me any information about, you know, who's watching or anything along those lines. But it's when we talk about sports fans, they're going to probably gravitate a little bit more to over-the-air rather than streaming, or do you see it being the opposite?
Well, not necessarily, I would say. I think the origin of the deals like that, which are now commonly called stream and beam deals instead of traditional RSN deals, is really the goal of the team or the team owners to reach the maximum number of fans. You want to make sure that in the territory that you have, that you can reach fans on almost any type of device or any type of interface that they prefer to use. So they're definitely a part of the demographic that is sort of more comfortable with a traditional over-the-air type of channel programming and linear TV type watching. Fine. But there's also a growing demographic of typically younger or more digitally savvy users that are like, no, they want to watch it on their phone. They want to watch it on their tablet. They want to watch it on a smart TV. And they also have an incredible appetite for additional content. You know, the beauty about a streaming or an owned D2C streaming model is that you can provide a lot more behind the scenes content. You can provide more updates in between games. There is sort of some of the teams do special interviews with teams or with players or with coaches or sort of additional content that becomes available. And we see very good uptake of that content, which obviously on a linear TV channel would be much harder to do. And then the other thing that sort of the digital part is that people want to be more interactive. We're starting to do some more experiments. We did a couple of games with the Pelicans over the last couple of weeks where the commentators get involved. You can ask questions to the commentators. You can chat with the commentators. You can sort of create a more interactive way of watching the games, and the Pelicans have been a good partner in doing that. And so I like to say that streaming is not just a replacement for linear TV. It is a different medium, different content, different engagement, different fan ability, different interaction capabilities. And that's what we like to emphasize. That's why we don't think of linear TV as necessarily as a competition. We think the two mediums complement each other really well and ultimately drive the goals of the teams and the team owners to reach the maximum number of fans and also to get maximum exposure for their content, their brand, their sponsors, and obviously monetization opportunities.
What do you think of what we've seen in Dallas and Anaheim on the NHL side, Victory Plus? And that seems to be exclusively streaming. Is that something that you'd be interested in doing as well at Kizway?
Sure. I mean, if there are people who want to go more into the exclusive streaming, if the demographic is ready for that, obviously we wouldn't be opposed to that. Our approach is a little bit different of what's happening in Anaheim or in Dallas, because we really let the teams be their own platform. We don't put another platform or another brand in between them and the end users or another data collection. So we like to sort of say that our flavor of direct-to-consumer streaming is actually, in a way, the real flavor, because it's not direct-to-consumer if you don't end up owning the user data or owning the user relationship. I mean, and that's, in my mind, the key difference from what you're seeing in California and Texas.
Has there been any thought, you know, obviously, Kizway, as you mentioned, it's not its own network or anything like that. You're basically just kind of creating the blueprint for other properties, whether they be teams. Have you looked into or had any opportunity to or any ambition to work with a league? Like, for example, you know, obviously the NHL uses MLB Advanced Media. Mm-hmm. Could you work with a league in that way?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We would be very open to work with MLB or for any league for that matter of fact, in terms of providing a sort of a league-wide ability to watch games from different territories or different countries for that matter of fact. I mean, we do work with other properties that are more global properties. You know, we do, for example, East versus West arm wrestling, which is a global property that is actually, you know, a new sport, a little bit more of a non-traditional sport, but very popular and a lot of young audience, actually both from the Western world as well as Eastern, particularly Eastern European world, tend to tune in on that. We do similar things with the projects we just launched. Was it last week or the week before, with something called the Next Chapter League, a new innovative one-on-one basketball league with some former NBA players involved that actually is going to be a global event. They have a big event coming up, I think June 6th. With PPV.com, we also do some global events or some global wrestling capabilities. So yeah, I mean, we're basically open for business with big and small leagues around the world, in our mind, yes.
So let's get a little bit to the technical aspect. So when we talk about streaming and sports, there's a few pet peeves that I think a lot of fans have. Let's start with the delay. So if I'm watching a game on an antenna, that game, there's a delay even there. But yes, if I'm watching it on streaming, it can be upwards of a minute behind. How do you deal with that at Kisway? And where do you see the industry moving toward on that? Are we getting to a point where that might be mitigated?
Yes, for sure. I mean, we're definitely able, and we already are bringing that delay down to be in line with linear or sometimes even below linear. I mean, so delays of a minute is definitely a long time in the real world of sports these days. So we're looking to bring these things down for sure. And we have some sort of, we like to pride ourselves on somewhat having the best streaming, low delay, low buffering capabilities. Because also, if you want to make a game interactive and you want to be able to, like, for example, with the Utah Jazz and the Utah Hockey Club, we do a multi-view feature where you can actually watch two games at the same time and switch between them in terms of which one you want to follow, or which audio you want to get, or which commentary. Obviously, you don't want any delay issues when you have a multi-view type of experience. So we're bringing things down for sure. I think that we'll see overall in streaming an event where streaming will be comparable to linear and maybe even be faster than linear. There's obviously some FCC requirements around delay and things like that always have to be respected. There is a lot of questions we get about ultra low delay or zero delay. That might take a little bit longer. There's some betting companies who are really interested in that, but we don't see a huge demand for the sub-second latency or delays or things like that. We're not a big believer in that. But yeah, generally we want to make sure that fans have a good experience, that they get a good quality, a good image, no buffering, no resolution image, and as low as delay as possible.
A lot of that, too, is going to be determined by people's connections. I know that, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, fiber internet out there, but there's also, especially when you get to older folks, their connections might not necessarily be able to facilitate a live stream in that way. Is there any way to kind of work around that? I mean, is it just simply if someone doesn't have the right connection for it, it just can't work?
Well, yeah, no, we have a bunch of technologies that deal with that. We do have a sort of automatic adaptive resolution in all of our streaming built in, that if you happen to be on a lower connection or you don't have the fiber or things like that, you will still be able to watch the game. You might not get it at the highest possible resolution, so your quality might degrade a little bit, but you'll still be able to watch it. At the same time, we've seen like tremendous infrastructure upgrades in our access capabilities, a little bit closer related to the job we had before we started Kisby in terms of getting the amount of bandwidth. So most households in the US these days should have been able to access to what I would call standard internet speed packages, which should be sufficient for any of our services.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Let's get to one of the good problems to have, which is when so many people are tuning in that the technology just can't handle it. You go back to the Netflix Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight last year. You know, they say 65 million people were watching just in the U.S. I mean, around the world, over 100 million is what they're saying. Is there, you know, I mean, obviously we know the technology is getting better. But is, you know, is streaming ready for, let's say, a Super Bowl?
Okay. So, obviously, I can't really comment in terms of what happened with the Jake Paul fight and things like that. And I'll let the comments that were out there just speak for themselves. But from our perspective, we get this question a lot. And we're pretty confident that, yes, we are ready for large-scale Super Bowl-size events. These things are hard to do because obviously when you have millions of people all logging in at the same time or all transacting at the same time, that typically creates bottlenecks. I mean, what we have learned, and you know, we had to grow up and we've had our own growing pains many years ago, is that it's all about preparation. It's about parking, making sure that you have the cloud infrastructure, that you have a distributed architecture, that you have the ability to scale that architecture and duplicate it, that you don't have any sequential dependencies in your architecture. And those are sort of things that, let's say, there's only a small number of companies in the world who sort of have that capability. As you may know, we've done some of the largest music events during the pandemic with BTS, one of our Korean partners, and we've done hundreds of K-pop events since then. And those involves like large numbers of people all over the world transacting and watching at very high quality. And again, I'm not a K-pop expert, but I know that the K-pop fans are quite adamant and quite vocal if they don't get the content or the quality or the interactivity that they want. And we've been able to sort of serve that audience. So we do feel that the technology in general and our company in particular is ready for taking on large world-breaking record events. So we've done that with several of our partners. I mean, we did a project with the Olympics, there was a large scale project. So we are quite confident to do large scale projects, I would say.
in broad strokes, not necessarily about Kizway,
yep,
when do you think streaming will become, let's say, the exclusive home of a Super Bowl? I mean, do you see that 15, 20 years?
Yeah, I think that's a question that involves more than just pure technology arguments in some sense, because there is a lot of partners involved. There's a lot of rights agreements that are often negotiated years ahead of time. I do see, independent of who the parties are involved, whether it's more of a direct to consumer or through a broadcast partner or through a third party partner, we see every year that the ratio between linear TV watching and streaming is sort of moving to the streaming direction. Whether it will be the exclusive thing, that's a hard thing to pin down, because it's sort of the same thing as like, when do people stop using rotary phones? Well, there's still some people, there's still a handful of people out there who still use them. So it might be a slow decline, but I think we're already seeing large numbers of streaming users. We saw the success that Peacock had with the streaming of the Olympics. That was one of the high points. So I think we'll see a continued growing of streaming users and probably an acceleration of it. But I don't want to be pinned down on an exact end date, because that might be longer than what we think.
So let's say 20 years down the line, streaming starts to really become not just a supplement to over the air and cable, uh-huh, but a real replacement. What is at that point the next step? I mean, that's kind of a big, big time horizon question, but what do you see, just from your experience, being the next step in media distribution?
Yeah, well, what I sort of see, not just as the next step, but the step that will come alongside with streaming, is that I always like to say streaming is a new medium. It's not just about having the exact same experience as linear TV. It's like, oh, I watch it on linear TV. No, I watch the exact same event in the exact same way, maybe on the exact same device, but it just happens to be streaming behind it. What I think we'll see, and we're seeing this already with the adoption of streaming, is two trends that we'll see. First of all, is more personalization. So the notion of altcasts, because production is becoming more digital, production is becoming more cloud-based. So as there are different demographics watching a game, you will be able to have commentary or graphics or maybe even camera switching at some point dedicated to a particular demographic. I mean, because those costs become easier to scale and easier to replicate digitally. So that's one trend you'll see alongside with streaming. The other trend that we're seeing alongside with streaming, and in some sense, some of the creators or some of the creator economy are the forefront of this, is the notion of interactive streaming. That the what I like to say is that the user is not just a watcher, but is also a participant in the event. Just like, why do you go to an actual game instead of watching it on TV? Because you can participate. You can go with your friends. You can take selfies. You can clap. You can scream. You can cheer. All those type of things. We're seeing more and more of adoption of those technologies in a digital world for people who watch at home. And so together with streaming, you'll see more adoption of the interactive, sort of what I like to call bi-directional streaming. It's not just bringing the game to millions of people. It's like, how do you make these millions of people feel like they're part of the game, that they're seen by either clapping or cheering or uploading selfies or any of those type of capabilities? That's why I think it's also very powerful, the fact that our company is active in the creator economy, where we're working with some of the big YouTubers and some of the big, because they are usually the most hungry and the most eager adapter of the interactive features, to the point that they sometimes make the users part of the show. They'll do a comedy sketch and they'll pull the users, like, what should we do next? Or what's going to happen with this character? And all of a sudden, people feel like, yeah, I can answer. I can influence the outcome of this. And I can feel that I'm part of it. And we see this pretty much in every genre that we do, is at the moment you add some level of interactivity, that the viewing times go up, the return rate comes up, people come back, people will bring their friends, and people will spend more time consuming the property. And that's ultimately the evolution that I see. In terms of your question, what will be the next chapter after 20 years? I mean, maybe I'm a little too old at this point to predict that, but I do think we'll see a lot of innovations happening together as streaming get adopted. And that's what we're more excited about between now and 20 years from now, I would say.
What about the role of AI? Because, you know, what you just mentioned, right? All of the creator economy, there's only so many creators. And if just to get to the point where you have that ultimate customizable user specific, you know, option, well, there's going to have to be, you know, one for, you know, how many ever millions and millions of people.
Yeah. No, I'm very bullish on the adoption of AI. And there's a bunch of things that we're doing already. Like we're doing live sentiment analysis of an event. So we'll know for sure which minutes of the event are the users most excited about, what scene or what event in the game were they most interactive, or what song did they like the most, and things like that. So we have live sentiment analysis. We also do live translation. If we do some of our K-pop events, for example, many of them are in Korean, we do live translation through AI into any number of different languages. And I think what you will see is a little bit AI helping the trends that I already mentioned, is that there will be ability to interact and there will be the ability to customize. You could even imagine that at some point there would be customization down to the individual user, where you say like, okay, we know user Wim is really interested in this and he's an expert on that, and we're going to make sure that he gets the data, he gets the commentary, he gets the background information based on the aspects of the players or the team that he's interested in. But user John is actually interested in a very different aspect of the game, and we can see a lot more customization, and AI can have a big aspect on that. We're doing a few experiments with it already, and we already see even for some basketball games, sometimes we do experiments with commentators that are influencers, and they talk more about the sneakers in the game. And there is a demographic who wants to know what's going on with the different sneakers. There's obviously a demographic that's interested in betting. So you can go to smaller and smaller and further specialized demographics with the help of AI down to even the individual user, I think.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been to the NBA Tech Summit that they do at All-Star Weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, I went there a couple of years ago when it was in Indianapolis, and they showcased some AI-inspired variations of a game telecast. So you might be watching a game, and they'll show a version that's styled like a Spider-Man film, or they'll, you know, various genres, cartoons. Is that something that is, you know, I mean, is that even really feasible in the near or medium or even long term?
Yeah, it definitely goes in the same direction in terms of how can you customize a game? Can you make it look more like a cartoon? Can you have different optical effects? That goes all in the same direction in my mind. I think the technology is getting ready for things like that. In my mind, the challenge with those type of things is not always the technology, because you can showcase a lot of interesting sort of things. It's like, well, what really resonates with the users? I mean, what do users really want to see? What is exciting for them? I mean, we've definitely done experiments with camera angles. You know, some users really want to look at the RoboCam because that's more how the 2K game looks at it. So there's more influence from gaming that way. I mean, so we've done experiments with panoramic cameras where you can focus on particular players. If you want to watch LeBron in a particular game and see how he moves around as opposed to what the traditional camera positions are. So those are all technologies that are becoming ready. The challenge there is not only the technology, but also finding out which smart combination of pieces of technology is going to resonate with end users.
That's another one of those limitations, right? Where you don't have as many, you know, influencers as you might need to cover everybody, but you also don't have enough cameras, right? There's only so many cameras that can capture a game. So I'm curious, you know, would some of these things, these new angles, would they be completely AI generated?
Yeah, there's different ways of addressing those type of technology challenges. So first of all, cameras are getting cheaper as well, and you can actually deploy many more cameras around an event. You know, NASCAR uses tons of cameras. I remember for the Paris opening ceremony along the Seine River, I think they had something like 150, 180 cameras that were used for that event. So you could use more cameras, but what you can also do, there are more sort of virtual cameras or panoramic cameras or things that can synthesize almost any PTC from any position in the game. So those technologies are definitely becoming available. So I think it's a combination of both things. You can do more real cameras, which are becoming cheaper, but you can also do more virtualized and synthesized cameras where you could sort of change artificial camera position and create new views for users. I mean, so far we found that if you just add a few traditional cameras, you can get a lot of different views and different viewing patterns. So I think the limitation is more, how do you present all these additional angles to users in a way that makes sense for them and lets them watch the game that they want to watch, as opposed to it being technology limited.
And let's bring it back to the near term. What are some of the things, customability wise, we might see already or in the next couple of years? Like, one thing that comes to mind for me is, maybe I don't want to see certain stats in the scorebug. I want to see other stats. Mm-hmm. Is there a way that, yes, as a user, I can say, hey, I want the 3-point shot stat to be on the screen at all times?
Yeah, I think those things are definitely becoming, and it's another good example of things that are much easier to do in a streaming world than in a broadcast world, because in the broadcast world, the stats are just burned into the image and there's nothing you could do with it. So it's not that hard to sort of customize what you want the scoreboard to look like or what you want the stats to look like. That technology is pretty much already available today. And I think, as like we were talking earlier, as we see more adoption of streaming, you'll see more of those type of ways of customize things. Like, I want the scorebook. I don't want a scorebook. I want a bigger scorebook. So I want other things on the scorebook. Those, I think, we definitely could see in the near future, I would say.
One of the primary things in sports television that people really are passionate about is, of course, the play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
NBC during the last Olympics had an AI-generated version of Al Michaels doing highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Would we see AI-generated play-by-play that, you know, obviously maybe it's based on an Ian Eagle or a Kevin Harlan, but a completely, you know, synthetic AI play-by-play voice in the future?
Yes, absolutely. I totally believe we can do that.
What would that entail? Like, I mean, would it be customized for every single person?
It could be, but it doesn't have to be, in my mind. If you look at the AI capabilities and just the amount of training data that would be available for building an AI model like that, it wouldn't be too far-fetched to imagine an AI-driven play-by-play commentator. I mean, even with the right tonality of the voice and things like that. And then once you can create something like that, just like we were talking about the stats bug, you could start tuning that for the particular user or user demographic that you're looking at. You know, I mean, like, for any sport or any game, there's always users who are the hardcore users who really want to have the latest details. And you also have casual fans who are just discovering the sport or just discovering the game and don't know that much about it. The thing that's really hard for a director or a producer or a commentator right now, they have to cater to the common good. You know, I mean, and then with the AI capabilities, it'll be able to customize that much better. And I don't think that's too far away.
Hmm. Very interesting. I think there's a lot of folks in play-by-play who'll be interested in that, certainly. Maybe a little bit afraid of the possibilities.
Almost any job out there impacting technology is going to change because of AI. And it's just like any job. It's like, will AI replace people in job ABC? Well, the answer is always like, people who have that job, who adopt AI in their work stream, will replace people who are in that job who resist AI and stick to the old ways. I mean, so whether it's doctors or lawyers or commentators or technologists, it's the same for everybody, is that, yes, there is competition, and AI will make people more competitive and more, and have a bigger impact. And so people who will use it will generally replace people who don't use it. But, you know, that's my firm belief.
All right. That was Wim Sweldens of Kizway. I hope you all enjoyed that conversation and certainly some interesting implications for the future of sports TV. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this special edition of the SMW podcast. We'll be back with more stuff down the line.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, Treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.